You're listening to the City Lights Sermon Podcast, where we are equipping people to exalt Jesus and extend the kingdom of heaven right where they are. This podcast is part of a mini-series called Becoming Who We Are. If you are encouraged by what you're hearing, please share this with someone or post it using either social media or iTunes. And thank you for taking time to exalt Jesus with us.
I want to invite you to open up to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I have a lot on my heart this morning and a brief time to share it, so I'll try and be brief and clear. We are currently in a study of John, moving through a series called Believe. We've taken a quick break, a quick cul-de-sac kind of detour to look at the book of Ephesians under a series called Becoming Who We Are as Individuals. My task today is to kind of close up that series, Becoming Who We Are, with an emphasis on the we rather than just the me. I want to talk about who we are as a church, as City Lights. My name is Oliver. If I've not met you before, if you're new here or I've not had a chance to meet you at first look, and one of my tasks here is to look over some of the organizational sides of the church and to keep us focused, and that's a mutual effort that we all do, but just to keep us focused on the vision, as the scripture would say, without vision the people perish. It's important that the church doesn't gather, but that it's being transformed, that it's growing, that it's continuing to look different, that you look different, that I look different from a year out, that I look more like Christ. That's the purpose of why we're here. Otherwise, we could just go to heaven. We could just go be with him, and that would be much more pleasant, and there'd be less tears and less stress. But down here, we have an opportunity to give him praise in a way that we can't in heaven, and that is not just through worship and singing songs, but through transformation and becoming more like him. That's the greatest compliment we could ever pay him, is to be like him, to say, you're the greatest man that ever walked the earth, and I want to be like you. I want to model my life after you. And so if you're new here, or if you've been here for the 4 years that we've been doing this venture, this ministry, City Lights, we just want to be extra super clear about who we are and what we're doing, becoming who we are, because although family is an organic thing, church is an organic thing, it does not happen on accident. It has to be the continual, daily, abided, focused decision to do what he's asked us to do. Obedience doesn't come on accident. It comes through persistence. And so if I could just give us a focus point to really rally around the rest of the time that I'm here just to share my heart, is that we are here to be and make disciples. That's what we're here to do. We are here, as Chris mentioned, we've got a really great opportunity on the Swamp Rabbit Trail to own a property and to develop a building that's going to be a renovated mill, and it's a really great blessing that the Lord has provided for us. We believe he's building it with his hand. But more important than any type of building, or more important than any type of program or small group or City Life or First Look or some of these names that are coming a million miles an hour at you, more important than all that, I would just give you one word, and that is that we want to build disciples. We actually are already in the process of developing our Swamp Rabbit Trail, not only in the foundational aspects of finding architects, but we're already doing that because we are putting our hand right now today on building people. And once we get to that building, it won't really matter at all. So much, it only matter as much as we are able to occupy that with people, the temple of God, the people called to be his disciples, and obediently focused in doing what we've been sent here to do. It's so easy to wander. It's so easy to drift. It's so easy to lose focus from why we are here. We are not here to build careers. We're not here to build wealth. We're not here to even build social networking. We're not here to build meaning as though it exists outside of Christ. We're not here to find answers so much. We're here to build people. We're here to see ourselves built from the inside out. In a world that basically paints a narrative that you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and if somebody's an alcoholic, they're always an alcoholic. If somebody's abusive, they'll always be abusive. If somebody's addicted to pornography, they'll always be addicted to pornography. This church exists to prove that point wrong, that he is building people supernaturally. And so we're going to look at a scripture. We're going to move quickly through it. But I want to communicate a couple of things. And that is, number one, of course, first and foremost, always want to communicate God's heart and who he is and what he thinks about our church. It's important that we know that. It's important that we know who we're with. It's important that we know the original intent and the vision. I also want to communicate who we are and the role that we play. And there's tons and tons of scriptures. It's almost hard to nail down which one I want to look at. But 1 Corinthians 3 is where I'd love to start off. And Paul, the apostle, is addressing the church in Corinth. And he is encouraging and exhorting them to see the vision in front of them, to be reminded of the significance of building people, not just to build programs or not just to build great days or a life, but to build people. It says in verse 1, he says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh. As infants in Christ, I fed you with milk, not solid food." So I want to get into some teaching here. A lot of this is going to be about vision, but I want to make sure we consult the Word of God and we teach and we talk about what he's saying, not just what I'm saying. But you can see that the idea of an infant in Christ, that's not a compliment to be paid. In the Jewish tradition, living in a Greek area or in a quote pagan area, the idea of, you know, you're not spiritual, you're basically human, you're just the sum of your parts, you're not really attached to any divine thing, you're in a church that's a building, but you're not connected to the divine providential frontier that he's building in the church from the spiritual standpoint, you're merely human. You're just a collection of atoms. That's not a compliment. You should have been eating milk, he would go on to say, but you should have been eating spiritual meat, but instead you've been eating the meat of the world. You're just on spiritual milk, and you're not as grown, as mature as you should be. And so he starts off this way with sort of a rebuke. Verse 3, "For you are still only of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another says, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human?" I think I saw an A.W. Tozer quote earlier this week, which I didn't remember to put in my outline, but it said something like, "They'll know you're not the church if you hate one another," right? Which is a play on the scripture verse, "They'll know we're the church because we love one another." The antithesis is true. You're not the church if you're hating one another. Because we're here in church not just to get together or not necessarily just even to get fed, but that we would grow. That's why we're here, to be built. My attitude when I come on here, I love, you know, Timothy wrote the sermon for me, I guess, and so he helped me out. But he said, you know, we need to see this place as a construction site. We need to see this place as a building in progress, because our coming here needs to be that our attitude is to build on, and not only just build one another to be happy and healthy, but to build on a foundation that's already here. We're going to get into that, which is Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus. And we are here with a purpose. We're here with a vision. We're here to build one another. The person next to you, to the left and to the right, you're here because of them in part. You don't know that. You don't know their name yet, but you're here to help build them up. And that needs to be the attitude. This is what Paul is saying. If you're mature, then the attitude is to approach the building. And it's funny because from my perspective, as I came up here, and I want to show you some pretty, you know, organized, some logistical things that I would love for all of us to be in the know about of how to get further involved and connected and grow here in this spiritual house. I want to show you some of that stuff, but I couldn't get up here to show you that organizationally in my prayer time without communicating the heart of God for his church. I can't talk about the organization without talking about his family. It's just not right. It's not right to talk about a church in a professional way with job descriptions and org charts without talking about the basic premise that this is Jesus who's laid his life down for you and I, which are his bride in Christ. That might be a new framework for you. In other words, God obviously created marriage, and as he talks about a man laying his life down for his wife and his spouse and his family and building a family, that's what he's saying about Jesus. He's laid his life down for his precious, precious, precious church. It's compared in the scriptures through jewels. It's his flock, it's his sheep, and most importantly, it's his family. We are precious to him. The person to the left and to the right of you is precious to him, and he is in the process of building us. I have a son named Leo, and he plays in Upward Basketball. And Upward Basketball, of course, is the place where everybody gets a star and everybody gets a medal, and we don't keep score, right? Recently, I guess they do kind of keep score, but they tend to turn the score around if the score goes up by 10. Leo's team did great yesterday. But Leo is the third grader on a fourth grade team. He's about half the height of the average person on his squad. And he, if it wasn't for Upward, probably wouldn't see a lot of minutes. But I love, I'm his cheerleader. I go to every game. I'm early to every game. I love to watch him play. And I remember hearing parents say that. And I was like, that's not true. He's awful. He didn't, you know. And Leo, you know, he's not awful. But, you know, the parents, they say, you know, I love watching you play. Well, it's true. It brings me joy to watch Leo play because he's my son. He's in the basket. We play. He's like Larry Bird. He shoots. I love his passion. I mean, he sheds tears out there on the court. Like, he plays with his heart. He's practicing. Me and him, we watch Steph Curry and videos and all that stuff, and he's like dribbling behind his back. I said, Leo, I was like, you need to stop dribbling behind your back, son. I said, that's the type of stuff that gets you sat on the bench, and that's the type of stuff that you never actually use in the game. And of course, yesterday, he pulled it off for the first time yesterday, like 2 days ago in the driveway. So yesterday, he gets in the game, and what do you know? Every time he gets the ball to run the point, he dribbles behind his back. He dribbled behind his back 3 times. He has more successful dribbling behind his back than any baskets made in the whole entire season. And I told this to Chris and the staff, you know your player based on the color band. You should know this as a parent. You should know if you go to Upward, there's color bands. The red is the best. You want your kid to be red. If your kid's got the green or the yellow, you've got some tutoring to do. Okay, and Leo's a green or yellow player for the most part. Okay, but here's my point. He's got his yellow on. He's playing with his heart. He runs every play like it's his life. I mean, to me, this is my perspective, even on an empirical standpoint, he has more heart than almost anybody out there. And this is my attitude. Even though the coach doesn't see the value of Leo in his growth, he doesn't recognize what's going on, even though he's not necessarily an advocate for where Leo is at, as I'm watching the game, he's watching the whole entire court and he's watching all the players, but I'm telling you, you know this as a parent, I'm not watching anybody. All I care about is Leo. I'm just watching Leo play, and even if he's not necessarily manufacturing baskets or play calling or doing the things that some of these bigger kids are doing, it doesn't matter to me because it's not based on what he does. It's based on who he is to me. I love him. I love Leo. I am an advocate for Leo. And this is what I wanted to communicate to you. This is the deal. As I talk about his church, he said, don't talk about the organization without talking about my family. Disciples aren't just cogs in a wheel. They're sons and they are daughters. That's who they are. And don't make an organization or talk too much about business if you don't talk about family. Listen, I don't know how to communicate other than this in my prayer. As I'm listening to the Lord speak about this scripture and speak about us in our venture as we go out building the disciples, I cannot communicate how passionately, how fervently I sense him crying over our church. I sense him praying and interceding on our behalf. In the middle of the night when we're sleeping, I sense him fighting for us. I sense him sending angels on our behalf ahead of calamity that would happen to us. He is an advocate. He is fighting for his church like the husband would fight for a bride. That is the nature of our God. He is a father to the fatherless. He is a husband that has laid his life down for his bride. And he gets, and this is where I'm getting to the point. It's one thing if you send in a player and he messes up the plate. It's another thing if you go into the church, and this is the rebuke that's being said. If you go into the church and you try to build on a foundation outside of Christ, he says, number one, you're not mature. You're drinking milk. And number two, the results will be as follows. Jealousy will turn into strife, and strife is not of the spirit, it's of the flesh. It's of a human way. Jealousy will always follow. So this is my point, and now I got to move on because I got a lot of points. But this is my point. He has come to change us. He's come to teach an old dog new tricks. He's come to reform and remake us into new human beings, not with better habits, better behaviors, and more wisdom, to change us, to change our wanters so our appetite for the things of the flesh are changed to the appetites to the things of the spirit. And that is the process of what's going on in this church. We should not look the same in a year's time as we do today. But this is what I'm communicating is that if we come and our attitude is anything other than exalting Christ, if our attitude is anything other than I have a foundation in Christ and I'm here to build myself and build others, if my attitude is I'm here for a certain subculture, if my attitude is I'm here for a certain way that another church did things, if I'm here because I want a certain type of result, if my attitude is I want a connection, or I want to be in leadership, or I want to play music, or whatever it is, if my attitude is anything other than the foundation of Christ, I am not building his church, I'm tearing it down. Because anything that's not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, not a moral revolution, not a political endeavor, anything that's built other than Jesus Christ is the only thing worth exalting in this world, which it goes on explicitly to say, I am drinking milk and not meat, and I'm actually doing more harm to myself than others and others in this church. I can't help anybody until I understand the foundation of Christ. My attitude here, it needs to be not a couch but a construction site. I'm not here for me, I'm here for you. And my attitude needs to be, I've got my hard hat on, I got my tin pail, I got my thermos, I got my blue collar on, and I'm here to work. That's the attitude you're going to hear in terms of, okay, my church, you want to know about my church? That's my bride. Okay, you want to know how that works? I want you to come into my church. What does it look like to grow? What does it look like to be in the church and for the church to function the right way? This is the key word you're going to see again. It is labor. It is a labor of love. A lot of times I think we think church is like a hot tub. And actually, more realistic, it's a washing of hands. You think, oh, I'll just bring my stuff, you bring your stuff, we'll sit in the hot tub and we'll just mutually enjoy community. That, it's ideal. It doesn't work that way. Families have to be fought for. Families have to, we have to come with families understanding people are bringing baggage. People are bringing walls. People are bringing attitudes. People are bringing hurts. People are bringing expectations. And I can't let any of that get in the way of what God has sent me here to do, which is to build a foundation on Christ. He's not a couch. He is a foundation to build on. And my attitude in church needs to be, how can I build you? All the theater, this is all going to get burned down. The swamp, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know what matters? It's building people. And that doesn't happen on accident. It happens through work. It happens through labor. It doesn't happen through programs. It doesn't happen through better ideas. It happens through humble people building other people. And this is the cry that I hear him say, whether it's 10 people in this church or 100 and 500 or whatever, it's that I'm going to call people, whoever it is, but I can't call them unless they understand my heart for the family. I'm going to call them to build the church. Come with me to build the church. And that's ultimately what I want to say. If I could just be crystal clear, they say with vision, let's just be crystal clear. We're here to build the church. We want to build disciples. We want to build people. And that's what we want to invite you to do. That's what we want to do almost every single Sunday. We're going to obviously talk about the scripture and get into the business of doing it rather than talking about it. But we want to every now and again take a step back and remember, what are we doing here? What's our purpose? What's the vision? What is a win for us as we leave this place on a continual, not only weekly, but yearly basis? We're inviting you to build with us. That's what we're doing. What am I doing here? When I go to work, I put on a tie, I have an ID, you have a certain thing that you're doing and a task and a plan. What are we doing when we get to church? We're building people. The church isn't a building, it's building people. Look at this quote from E.M. Bounds. When Jesus left this earth, he didn't leave a building. He didn't leave a strategy plan. He didn't leave a curriculum. He left 12 people. He left his spirit and 12 people. That's the only way you knew he was here, because he left people. Because all the other stuff, it's going to get in straw and hay. The gold, the precious metal that remains, fruit that remains in John 15 is people. Ian Bounds says this, the training of the 12 was the great difficult and enduring work of Christ. Families are not built on accident. They're built by fathers and mothers working on forgiveness, working on teaching, working on moving towards one another, working towards communication, working towards building a family. That doesn't happen on accident. It takes work. There's a building involved. And so it says the criticism and the consumerism really builds about this dialogue in verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed and the Lord assigned to each. That's the attitude, is that if it's about building something outside of Christ, in other words, if I'm not satisfied with Christ, I'm going to try and find my satisfaction somewhere else. I'm going to come to church and try and find something else to get me to the place I want. That's not how church is built. Churches are built from the foundation of Christ is enough. How can I build on it? That's how that works. That's how building church works. Everyone brings something to the table. And if we are outside of that parameter, we're going to start to look at different leaders or what's going on in other churches or in our church, and we're going to criticize, and we're going to bicker, we're going to have strife, we're going to have jealousy. Show me somebody that wants to build on the foundation of Christ. They could grow in any Christian church on America. Show me somebody that wants to get satisfaction outside of Christ. They won't find belonging or health or growth in any church in America. That's the difference. And so it says, he says, he who plants, he who waters, one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. Key word there. For we are God's fellow workers. Labor, work, effort, decision, vision. Like labor. That's what we're doing here. We're here to work. We're here to labor. It's good to work. You are God's field. You're God's building. So here's where the transition happens. Because in that day and age, if you would have heard an analogy, and that's why they always use pictures, because they're so timeless and they're so multidimensional. He moves, it's interesting, from an analogy and a storyline of agrarian to kind of urban building, right? In the farmer mentality, it was a well-accepted tradition and belief system that as you farm, most of the work is done by God, you know? And that's part of it, is that we need to understand God brings the increase at the end of the day. And I'm siding on one side of the thing. I'm really emphasizing today our effort, our increase, what we're doing. But obviously, at the end of the day, it's his foundation that we have anything to build upon in the first place. So don't get me wrong. He's building it, okay? But I want you to see the transition, because he doesn't just allow us to stay in the agrarian mode. He quickly moves us into the construction mode, because the construction mode very unequivocally puts the onus on us that we also contribute. We are God's building, but we're also his fellow workers. And he says we're building a structure on a foundation. So this is where we get into building mode. Verse 10, I'll read it. According to the grace of God has given me, like a skilled master builder. Did you know that making a disciple, fathering, adding wealth, and increasing influence into the church requires skill? Did you know that it requires us to be able to teach, to know how to read people, to be better communicators? Did you know that we're going to have to daily grow in our character, but also our competency? We need to know more about the scripture next year. We need to know how to talk to kids better in a simple way. We need to know how to not only have a good heart, but communicate that heart and let people know where we're at. These are skills. He says, and we want to put our craft as a way an Olympian or a guitarist or a piano player would dedicate their craft. That's what we're doing. We're building a craft so we can build the most important structure beyond Olympics in the world, which is the discipling family of Christ. We want to become skillful builders. We want to be weapons in the Lord's hand. We want to be skilled, master builders. I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. And notice that it's just not, I'm the apostle, so I'm the builder, and you guys just kind of hang out. It's saying everybody has a part. Everyone's laying some foundation. Everyone has a part in the wall that they're building. Where's your part? What's the gift that God has given you? I'm not saying sign up for a, volunteer. That's not what I'm about. I'm saying, no, bring the attitude of building. How can I build somebody? How can I share my story? How can I listen to somebody's story? What do you know that leaves people richer? Do that to others. Leave people richer when they leave you. That's the attitude. For no one can lay a foundation, I've already harped on this, other than that which is laid on Jesus Christ. By the way, that's not a doctrine. That is the person. Did you remember when Peter goes to Jesus and he says, who do you say that I am? He says, you're the Messiah, the chosen one. He says, then you're the one I'm going to build the church on. Do you know what the revelation is that builds on a healthy church? The person of Jesus Christ is helping people get connected and introduced to the person of Jesus Christ. Not my bias, not my political, background, not my denominational background. I'm going to put all that aside. Why? So that somebody could come to meet Jesus. That's what we want. We want people meeting the person of Jesus, and that is the only foundation in which a church will always split, a church will always tarry, a church will always remain stagnant until it becomes obsessed with meeting Jesus, with knowing Jesus, with wanting more of Jesus. And we want to become daily more dissatisfied with anything else. That's the only ticket there, is to grow in hunger. And I'll say this, I think about this as I'm with the movies. More and more, a real great escape for me has always been movies. And it's so funny how over and over those plot lines, they become a little more dull. They become a little less satisfying. The hit becomes a little less high. And that's a good thing. And we run and we try and find something else. And I just want to invite you, even in that place, is if you're finding something that used to satisfy you, not anymore, celebrate that. Because that's your appetite changing for something that lasts. So we are building a foundation, not on ideal, but on Jesus himself. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, hay, or straw, each one's work, and that's the emphasized word that I've been preaching about today, each one's work will be manifested. That is the only thing that we'll leave behind. Is people. That is the only thing. My father-in-law passed away this last August. A wealthy man, did very well for himself, also loved the Lord and also discipled people. And they put all of his stuff in a bag. And now they've since sold the house. And you've seen this before. All these NFL players and NBA players that we think are on top of the heap, you know what they use their money for? They bought VCRs with them. Where are the VCRs? You see what I'm saying? It goes back in the box. Like, it doesn't matter. You know what matters? The guy that came from Ohio, from Shreveport, and said, your dad talked me out of quitting my job, and now I'm a VP because of something your dad said. He built something in me that remains today. That's what matters. Building people, keeping focused on building people, discipling one another, not just to be better people, but to love Jesus, the person of Jesus. So I want to introduce just a couple of terms for you, and they're not something to memorize. There's no test tomorrow, but I want you to know that we're being very intentional about discipleship in this church. And discipleship is not something that we have thought and believe to be a program or something that can just be taught from stage. We understand discipleship to be a precious family relational endeavor that takes sacrifice and love and care over time. That's what we believe discipleship is. And so you're going to see a lot of things that just don't compromise from that agenda. It is a costly but worthy task to put our hand to, is to build people and to build disciples. But we don't believe that it happens overnight. It doesn't happen with slick slogans. It doesn't happen with great branding. It happens with humble people giving their life away to others. And one of the best ways we feel like we can do that is just to help you to understand where you are, how to get more connected here. As I've heard a quote earlier before, it's the Father that finds us, but it's the family that forms us. And we want to let you know on a continual basis on where you're at and just how to help you take your next step. We don't want to, you know, I think in some traditions there's kind of a membership type of thing where it's like, if you're a member, then you get to vote and you're in or you're out. We're not here to govern that kind of thing. We're not here to govern you or control you or make you do something you don't want to do. But we do always want to be open-handed with the best invitation we know how to give, which is come alongside and let's build together. Let's do something that lasts. Let's do something that matters. So there's a couple of words that I want to throw up on the screen, and these are three ways that you can build the church with us. Not just build a building or you know, give into a campaign or build a, you know, something else, but it's to really build people, to do something that lasts, because it does involve several people. We all put our hands to it. God brings the increase, but some water, some draw seeds, and we're all giving our gift at different points in the process. A couple of things that I would encourage you to do or invite you to do is just gather with us. One of the values we have is in Hebrews 10, it says, don't do like so many do, which is to forfeit community for isolation. I've said it before in light of city groups, isolation is a killer. I know people that are absolutely thriving right now. They are having their dreams awakened. I know people whose kids are writing spiritual songs at 4 and 5, writing new songs to the Lord and singing them. I know 5 people that put up their hand for salvation last week. I know discipleship, work that's being done that's precious jewels that will never burn away, is happening. But you know what the number one determining factor of that is? People choosing in to say yes to gathering even when it's not fun, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's raining, even when whatever. They've just chosen into gathering because they know that the ethos of gathering, although sometimes causes pain, offers the best residual in the end. I know people that are, on the other hand, absolutely dying in isolation, absolutely struggling. And there's nobody that beats either one of those laws of nature. There's people, and they're great people. They love the Lord, but they don't have community. They're the only person writing their story, their narrative. They don't have anybody giving them feedback. They don't have anyone reminding them of the dreams God gave them. They don't have anyone giving them feedback. We're not meant for that. And so I'm asking you to build God's church and building yourself. Be with us. And not just be in the room, but be early and connect. Stay late and connect. Put the heart walls down and learn from one another. Share life. It doesn't happen on accident. It's hard. It's awkward. Hey, my name's this. What's your name? I'm working here. The awkwardness of conversation, that's the fight we have to fight sometimes in order to build family together. Number 2 is grow. I'm asking you, if you've been here for a little while, to make sure that you're always cognizant that I'm not just here to think. I'm here to grow. I'm here to step. I'm here to look differently tomorrow than I do today. And I should be able, nothing grows without intention. I should be able at any given time, watching the time here myself, at any given time to be cognizant of where my next step is with Jesus. Okay, there's the foundation. That's who he is. That's him. I met with him. He's a person, and here's the deal. He has me down here not to be the same tomorrow, but to be different. So when I come out of a Sunday or a Wednesday or a small group or whatever, or even just a conversation with my mom, how am I growing? Grow with us. Be intentional, and this is one of the vehicles, is we have city groups. We'd love for you to get involved, to gather and grow in city groups. And one of the things we always want to do in city groups is not just talk about the Bible of what he said, but also talk about what's he saying to you. What's he saying to you? The foundation of Christ, as it's talked about in Hebrews, is the priestly Melchizedek. That's what he says is the foundation. Melchizedek is the priest. He's the first priest in the foundation. And that's the question we want to ask as you grow, is what's your life like with Melchizedek? What's your life like with the person of Jesus? What's he saying to you? Not what did your dad say, your uncle? What's he saying to you? And how's he asking you to take a next step, even though it's risky? And last but not least, that you would put your hand to give with us, to build with us, to come with a hard hat, to work, so to speak, and labor alongside of us. It says, actually, we think in a post-Christian world that nobody wants Christ. Actually, Christ always says it this way. Actually, it's not out there that the harvest isn't plentiful. The harvest is so plentiful. You know what's lacking? People that say yes to building with him. That's what's lacking. People that want to give, people that come concerned and wanting to raise family and do family life together. A couple of terms up on the screen. And I'll probably just pray and close this out this morning. I want to invite you, if you would do friends, if you get to the guests here, I want to invite you to understand and consider maybe where you are at in this process. Potentially, This is an action step for you. Potentially, you're just joining us. I met a few new people here, and I just want to say welcome. One of the first things we'd like to see up here, Micah, is if you're a guest, just to continue to gather with us. We invite you to be early because church actually starts before the strumming begins, and church actually keeps going after I say amen or Chris says amen. We want to invite you to continually gather with us, and we want you to belong. And here's what I'm saying. Listen, more even so than my sermon or the song, if you're lacking a connection or a belonging, I'm asking you, let me know about that. Let us know about that. We want this to be a really great place of belonging. We want to meet you and connect you and even want to grow as a church so that we're helping other people connect. Because the number one thing I believe we could offer you, even apart from great sound teaching and doctrine and all that stuff, is just to belong, a place that you're known. And that's what we want for you. And if you're a guest here and you're not yet known, then reach out, introduce yourself, or ask me and I'll introduce you to somebody else. But we want you to start to gather and know people. Secondly, if you are a friend here, maybe you've been here for a while, you've liked what Chris has said, you're not exactly ready to be committed or necessarily ready to build here, and that's great. We want to create a great margin for you to just gather and grow here with us and hang out for 2 months, 6 months, 8 months, and that's fine. There's different seasons in everyone's life, but we want to invite you to continue to ask yourself the question, how am I taking steps towards Christ together? Because here's what I'll say to you, is that if we are not gathering and growing together, we're not building up the church. We're probably in some ways either hindering it or tearing it down. So we're each responsible for our personal walk. And we need to be reticent and cognizant of what's our next step towards Christ. Because if I'm not growing the church, I'm probably hurting it more than I know. So what's your next step? How are you growing? How are you thinking about challenge? How are you different? What do you not know that you're asking somebody else to tell you about so that you can grow? Know what you don't know so you can grow. And last but not least, if you're a family member here, we want to invite you to be all in here. That's where health is, that's where life is, that's where we're going to see growth, is that family members committed to help building his church, that he's the foundation laying, but we're building upon it. Let's get busy. Let's start moving. Let's start building, putting blocks on blocks. Let's work together. Let's build team dynamic and chemistry so we can see a building that remains after all the straw is burned up. The only thing that will remain is people. Let's give together so we can build and invest in people. So just the two vehicles that Chris mentioned, and I will close with this, that we want you to be aware of. And we've said them already, but we'll re-emphasize them. You can sign up for them in the hall. There's actually a Next Steps table. Sydney Ann will meet you out there in the front. There's actually two different vehicles. If you're a friend and you've just been gathering here for a while, but you want to know what your next step is to take a growth step and get into a city group or understand a little bit more about who we are as a church and what makes our heart beat fast, then jump into First Look. It's a two-hour lunch on a Sunday, and there's one that's meeting this month. You can go ahead and sign up for it and just get, you can gather, but if you really want to start to grow, let's be known. Let's know one another. Let's step into that. Say yes to a First Look meeting. Sign up out there. I think it'll be a great time. The second thing I want to let you know about is City Life, which, as Chris mentioned before, is sort of reforming. It looks a little bit more like a membership in the way that it's not a badge and a star to wear that means that anybody's more important than anybody else. More importantly, it's just defining the relationship so that we know who you are and that you know who we are and that we're committed to one another. Because commitment matters. Even when we don't feel like a commitment makes a difference in building in the long run. And there's even an elder interview after that, and we're just going to talk and get to know you and pray together. There's something powerful about getting together and one-on-one, just praying with one another. Say, yes, we commit to what you're saying. We thank you for building disciples in the earth. We thank you for laying a foundation sturdy enough that would remain beyond fire. And that's the type of DTR we want to have. We want to have that relationship and build that relationship with you. Wherever you are, we're just inviting you to take your next step towards Christ together. I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm just going to pray us out today. Matthew 28 says this. Make sure to go to the Next Steps table and sign up for groups, sign up for City Life, maybe talk to your spouse, talk to your friends about where you are in this building, where you are in the construction site of how we can help one another to build one another up.